Shana Tova Tiketevu. May you be inscribed for a good year and happy new year as we welcome you to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan Crawford with my lovely wife and Bible teacher Sheila, who will be sharing in a moment. Please bow your heads and join me in this opening prayer. Abba Father, as we enter into yet another year on your calendar, we give you praise and honor. You are the King of Kings and Lord over all. Continue to protectively watch over us, especially in these very obvious last days. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. We beseech you to pull the strings of our unsaved loved ones, doing whatever it takes for them to see the true light. We ask for your healing touch on any listeners tonight, as well as those particular requests recently given to us. Show mercy to the many innocent escaping refugees from the Middle East, and that through their trials they will call out to you. For you alone are the world's only hope. May your face shine upon us as we overcome our difficulties because of your power, O Lord. Bless tonight's study, and may you alone be glorified in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Thank you, dear. Well, Rosh Hashanah is now officially over since sundown, and we are now in the next year and the high holy days on God's calendar. So, since we are still here, the bride has even more time to bring in the lost. And let me say, with so much continuing to happen, use these numerous end time signs for evangelism, because that's why God is giving them to us, to encourage his bride that he's really coming. So to stir us up even more to proclaim the real truth. Next week, we'll reveal more to us with the Pope's arrival, who, along with President Obama, has been setting the stage for a big announcement. They have been voicing many comments about global warming and climate change. So we know what to expect, but to what degree he will go with it will soon be seen. But it appears, having the backing of the UN, that it can, they will insist on certain procedures for us to adhere to. And that's supposed to begin on January 1st. By the way, I hope you have done some homework on the Jesuits so you yourself will see who they really are, just by the oath that all the higher ranking Jesuits must take, which he is, you know.
Right. Just go to Google or any search engine and put in Jesuits, and you will see many articles and videos.
Also, if you haven't done so already, look up Lucifer in the Mass, and you can view and hear for yourself who those in higher authority really honor.
No computer? Go to the library. They'll assist you.
That's right. Get yourselves informed firsthand about the deception that is going on. God is providing solid information for us to see, and the church as a whole is just not paying attention. It's only a remnant. This could easily be our last year, saints, so please wake up and witness even more. I implore you, just do it.
Yes, you can.
So where should we start?
Russia's pretty important news.
Yes, Russia is really upping its game in Syria. As we said last week, they sent that very large submarine equipped with nuclear warheads to help in the fight against ISIS and all the missiles and the weaponry. But now it is clear that many Russian ground troops are joining with Iran's Revolutionary Guardsmen, who are determined to rid Syria of all ISIS and any anti-Assad rebels, which, if you recall, the United States and Israel have been aiding in order to oust Assad.
So Obama's really not happy because he's wanted to get rid of Assad way back since the Arab Spring began years ago.
Yes, he has. But, you know, the powerful elite, they just want more chaos. So I believe they told him to step it down a notch. And, of course, now we see the refugees fleeing, especially from Syria. And I'm glad that you prayed for the innocent refugees a few minutes ago, because it has become a well-known and authenticated fact that ISIS is infiltrating these refugees. And, in fact, they even announced last December that they planned on making that happen.
And they even called it the Trojan Horse.
Yes, they did. And, of course, America will be taking in thousands of them, too. And that's just a start. We'll probably keep adding because we all know Obama wants more Democratic voters. Because otherwise, if a Republican president gets in, he might overturn or at least edit his many bad executive orders and laws. I read yesterday that even Germany is closing its borders, as have many other countries. Also, if United States citizens start a revolt, which I'm hearing is they're trying to do, or any catastrophe that the Pope said could occur, Obama can proclaim martial law and stay in office.
ICE is over here, and that's exactly what could happen.
Let me also say that Syria's Assad is selling passports to anyone with 250 liras, or that's about $80, so they can more easily get into other countries who then won't have to do background checks.
Yeah, I read in August alone, Assad made approximately $4 million selling passports to anyone.
Yes. And the awful Iran deal looks like it's gone through, as Iran's leaders still continue to threaten us and Israel. No surprise to us, though, who study scripture and have read Ezekiel 38. So I guess this just has to happen. You know, us common folk have no idea what's in our president's head. But I know he is a puppet of the elite who do have a definite plan, and I honestly believe we will soon see a major false flag event.
All right, then. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are very much needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning. This Friday is Prophecy DVD Night in Chesterland at Chester Christian Center. Topic is on the Feast of Yom Kippur, which comes on 9/23.
An interesting date, and that's when the Pope meets with our president. The next day addresses both houses of our Congress, and then on to New York to address the UN General Assembly, which, by the way, is their 70th year. And seven is always an important number.
First time a pope has ever addressed Congress or the U.N. He's becoming very political.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Any other important news? Anything new with Israel?
Yes. Actually, there have been some clashes on the Temple Mount over just some Jewish people wanting to pray for Rosh Hashanah. And they were mostly young Muslims, and they were hurling stones. Israel found a few pipe bombs, and they set off some of them, killing at least one Israeli. Also, Netanyahu is having many meetings with many leaders, not just about the escalating assaults in Jerusalem, but what Russia alarmingly is conducting in Syria. But he's protecting his assets, and I know that he plans on building an underground pipeline for oil as well. So there's a reason. And also, the Pope has become, as you just said, quite political. I believe they'll say to the UN, as he'll talk about the Palestinians, who, by the way, is going to raise its flag for the first time over the UN building. Do you remember that the Pope already made an agreement with Mahmoud Abbas, declaring them a state a few months ago? No negotiations with Israel. Just came out and said it. So, again, what kind of power do you think he really has?
It's pretty evident, a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we are currently in the Days of Awe, or the High Holy Days, on the Jewish calendar. which is a picture or type of the 7 years of the tribulation period, when repentance will be of the utmost importance to those who are left behind. You know, the ones that did not make Jesus Lord over their life. This typology is the awesome days that Joel speaks of in, you got that, honey?
Yeah, in chapter 2, verse 11, the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it?
By the way, awesome actually means terrible in this context, so it's good to know. I mean, today we have a little bit different language, like, awesome, man.
Yeah,
well, it's not
awesome.
It's not how the Bible interprets it, but. So we see that every year during these days, called Yami Noraim in Hebrew, they are the final days of the 40 days of Teshuvah that we've been talking about for quite a while. And you can actually go to my website to listen to the archives. But actually, they are the connecting days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where the Israelites from the Old Testament and still the Orthodox today believe that during these final days, if they haven't repented or made sure they had no unforgiveness in their heart before Yom Kippur and turn around to God, their name would be taken out of the book of life with possible death on the horizon.
Pretty serious time.
Yes, so much prayer goes on during this week. That's why the common greeting during this season and what we opened the program with, remember?
Lashana Tova Tike Tevu.
Yes, which means may you be inscribed for a good year. But as well, it implies may their name remain in the book of life. So yes, this time is a pretty big deal to them. And from sundown to sundown on Yom Kippur, they completely fast, which, by the way, is the only mandatory 24-hour fast that God told them to do. It actually says they were to afflict their souls. And to me, it is very afflicting indeed. So, if you want to, and only if you want to, for because of Jesus, we are no longer required to, but some that like to fast, or perhaps some kind of a fast on this day between sundown on next Tuesday the 22nd till sundown on Wednesday the 23rd. And actually this year we really should be praying and fasting for extra divine protection because things could get pretty rough. So, typologically, these 7 days, Tishri 3 through 9, on the Hebrew calendar, are a type of the 7-year tribulation, like I said, when repentance is of the highest degree of those who have been left behind. So those in the tribulation who don't repent and accept Christ as their Messiah by the time he returns to earth, also on a Yom Kippur, as stated in Revelation 19, it's going to be too late. The gates that were opened on Rosh Hashanah, according to Jewish thought, and also described in Isaiah 26:2, are being opened, that were opened, are now closed on Yom Kippur. And that's why they call it the Nilah, because the gates are closed. So again, Yom Kippur, or Day of Atonement, closes the season of Teshuvah, and in Jewish thought, on Yom Kippur, God assesses the deeds of each person and decides their fate for the coming year. And from my studies, Jesus will keep that appointment to fulfill it with his second coming when he boldly returns to earth at the end of the tribulation. Also described in Matthew 24, when all will see him as he is. Isn't it interesting that face-to-face is an idiom for Yom Kippur, thus keeping the sixth appointment out of seven that God made with man way back in Leviticus 23. Then there's only one left, Feast of Tabernacles, when Jesus ushers in the millennial kingdom that we will discuss next week. Now remember, God ordained detailed requirements for his first chosen Hebrew people, with definite customs using particular phrases that Jesus, who was also Jewish, would use to give us huge clues, so to learn how it will be with us. And Paul confirms this as well in Romans 15:4, where he says that all things written before is for our learning today. Leviticus 23:2 says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast," and I want to point this out every time we talk about the feast, that word is moed, and it means appointment. So it's the appointments of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, which means rehearsals. These are my appointments. Again, whose appointments are they? They're God's appointments with us, with man, with his chosen ones. Then continuing in verse 27 and 28, we're talking about Yom Kippur. "Also the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you," or a holy rehearsal. "You shall afflict your souls," or fast, "and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement to make atonement for you before the Lord your God." In verse 32 it says, "It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls," or fast, "on the 9th day of the month of Tishrei at evening. From evening to evening you shall celebrate your Sabbath." So, one of the idioms or expressions depicting Yom Kippur, and you know, each feast has them, but it's called the fast. And you can go to Acts, I think it might be, I'm 27, I don't have it written down here, but it actually refers to Yom Kippur as the day of the fast. So, it's even in our Bible. Also, this Day of Atonement, Exodus 32:30, it says, Moses says, "I go to make atonement for the people." It was after their grievous act of making the golden calf and then returned with the new tablets at the end of Teshuvah, which is Yom Kippur. So really, Moses was a prototype of Jesus when he returns, which he will do on Yom Kippur. And of course, we know Moses is a type of Jesus anyway. So, very interesting if you really study this. And remember, everything is archived on my webpage. You can listen to it again. You can pause it. You can chew on it. You replay it. It's just a great way to learn these things because I do have to move quite quickly, I understand. Another name is Nilah, and I already said this, but it means closing the gates. And again, these gates are open in Rosh Hashanah, Isaiah 26:2. And even Psalm 118:19 says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord." Also called a day of judgment. Of course, it would be to the goat people. Remember the separation of the sheep and goats. And so for that reason, it's also called the day of redemption for the sheep, Matthew 25. It's also called face-to-face, and Moses first uses this idiom in Exodus 33:11, and it really means in person, not eye-to-eye. You know, Scripture says that Moses saw God face-to-face, even though it was God's back, but he talked person-to-person with God. And as I just said, the second time on the mountain, Moses returned on a Yom Kippur. Now, as well, Israel's high priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies on a Yom Kippur. And it too, even with all the smoke, was termed as seeing God face to face. Okay, so here's another gold nugget and a great reason why we should understand these appointments. Our Jewish roots, remember? Anyway, they have certain phrases. Because when Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, he said this, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face." I believe he is giving us a great clue, as he often did, that Jesus' second coming to earth, like in Moses, will be on a Yom Kippur. And he said, Jesus said, he would keep all his appointments. And then we know it's his earthly return because of verse 10, if you read it all in context, which we should always do. So, Paul knew he was giving them a clue. like he did with the last trump, referring to Rosh Hashanah for the rapture. We talked about that last time. Other idioms for Yom Kippur is the great shofar, only blown on Yom Kippur. Remember, there's three idioms for three shofars blown on certain feasts. There's the first, the last, and the great. Now, in Leviticus 16:21, it says, Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the scapegoat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. Okay, so there was two goats. One was offered to Adonai, and one was actually what they say, a sinful goat, and they would put all their sins on this goat. Its name was Azazel. That is the Hebrew word for scapegoat. You can look it up. It's in your Bible. Now, according to the writings of Enoch and confirmed by the Dead Sea Scrolls, and I understand that some people don't want to really adhere to that, and that's fine. I just wanted to make a point that he said that Azazel was actually the name of one of the leaders of the fallen angels who had descended on Mount Hermon, and that always remained a gathering place of demonic gods from ancient days, and where Jesus proclaimed, probably while pointing to these caves of Pan, it became known as in Matthew 16:18. Remember where he probably pointed to these caves and said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail over the church." Azazel, according to the writings of Enoch, specifically taught men the art of warfare, of making swords, knives, shields, and armor, and women. He taught the art of ornamenting the body, dyeing the hair, painting the face, and also revealed to the people the secrets of witchcraft, leading them into wickedness and impurity. Until at last he was, at the Lord's command, bound hand and foot by an archangel and chained to the jagged rocks of Tartarus, where he is to abide in utter darkness, along with the other fallen angels, until the great day of judgment. And I believe that's the tribulation, when they will all be let out upon the earth. Yeah, it's going to be pretty bad. Jude 6, 2 Peter 2:4, Revelation 9, Isaiah 26, they all refer to that. But again, it will be during the tribulation, the bride will be gone, and then cast into the lake of fire forever. And according to the Mishnah, which was written about 200 AD, and this was just a commentary, a Jewish commentary on the Torah, and also by the historian Josephus, a red sash was tied to Azazel when led out to the wilderness, where the sash was then placed on a nearby rock. After the goat was pushed over the cliff, the red sash would turn white, showing their sins were covered. And then they would wave it as they ran back to the temple and tied it to the front door. However, the Mishnah also states around 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the sash stopped turning white. Why? Well, because Jesus' death freed them, which is why he then destroyed the temple. So, Yom Kippur is an exciting time. We'll close next week about maybe a couple more things and get in the Feast of Tabernacles. So the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. If you don't know Jesus, make him Lord of your life. Hurry, time is running out. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.